Well, a man died and appeared at the pearly gates of heaven. Saint Peter met him and asked, "Have you ever done anything that will entitle you to your heavenly reward?" Well, the man replied, "I think I remember one good thing I did. Once on my way home late at night, passing through an isolated area of town, I chanced upon a group of drug addicts. They were harassing an old woman trying to steal her purse. I approached them and ordered them to leave her alone. But they just ignored me. So I came up to the young man who seemed to be their leader, and I grabbed him by the neck and I smacked him across the face and I kicked him in the shins and I pushed him down on the ground. And then I screamed at the rest of them, 'Now, get lost, you useless thugs. Don't ever show your face around here again.'" Well, St. Peter was quite impressed. "That's amazing. When did this happen?" "I think about 7 minutes ago." The feast of saints are usually celebrated on the day of their death, like that man, which is their birth into eternal life. In the calendar of the Catholic Church, there are only three feasts of birthdays. Christmas, well, the birth of the boss, Jesus Christ. September the 8th, the birthday of the boss's mother, Blessed St. Mary. And June the 24th, the birth of St. John the Baptizer. This clearly illustrates the great importance and the vital role of John the Baptist in God's plan of salvation. Jesus affirms this when he praised him, saying, "I tell you, among those born of woman, there is no one greater than John." What made John the Baptist great in the eyes of Jesus? Well, he did happen to take on a thug, and it did cost him his life. But in a nutshell, we can say that his greatness is based on his faithful fulfillment of his role as the forerunner of the Messiah. That's a lot of sentence, isn't it? We can say that his greatness is based on his faithful fulfillment of his role as the forerunner of the Messiah. He manifested this in three main qualities that are readily seen in his life. The first was his humility. This virtue is not only about being lowly and unassuming, but also being truthful. When asked by the people who he was, he honestly replied, "I am not the Messiah. I am only the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord.' Personally, I'm not even unworthy to unfasten his sandal straps." You see, he must increase, I must decrease. In short, he clearly illustrated that humility and truthfulness always go together. And anyone who has these virtues is indeed great. This is clear in the example of God. God himself, he is absolute truth. And yet, in Philippians, we are told that God emptied himself and took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of humanity. Hence, St. John's greatness lies in his humility. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. A second quality that St. John displayed was his faithfulness, his fidelity to his mission. From the beginning of his life, he is already aware of this mission, and he fulfilled it by faithfully pointing to the Messiah. First chapter of John's Gospel. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He went about preaching a baptism of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. John the Baptizer even boldly challenged the Jewish authorities. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. The people readily believed and followed him because he represented the true image of a prophet. John's clothes were made of camel hair. And no, I'm not talking about Joseph A. Banks. No. It's just the skin off the carcass of a dead camel. And he had a leather belt around his waist. And it wasn't from the men's warehouse. And his food? Well, you might try to find them at Whole Foods, but you're not going to have any luck. He had locusts and wild honey. In short, in every moment of his life, in every possible way he could, he lived out what he preached. And the third quality is his indomitable courage for the truth. This was because he knew fully well that charity and truth can never be separated. As Pope Benedict XVI tells us in one of his writings, truth without charity is empty, and charity without truth, it's blind. As a corollary to this, we can truly say that telling the truth, no matter how painful it is to the recipient and no matter how hazardous it is to the messenger, is an act of profound charity. You see, the truth cannot be compromised. It has to be proclaimed and defended, even at the sacrifice, the price of one's life. St. John shows us how to be a true herald of truth that leads to true freedom. You see, he fearlessly condemned the incestuous and adulterous relationship of King Herod with Herodias, his brother's wife. Now, he did not do this despite the king. He wasn't a muckraker. He wasn't trying to find fake news. No, he knew what he had already done. In fact, the king celebrated it. But he did it out of genuine charity. That is, to lead the king back to the road of decency and righteousness. Unfortunately, the only road that it led to was St. John's imprisonment and his ultimate martyrdom. The world needs prophets like St. John the Baptizer. Over 100 years ago, Pope Pius X condemned behavior of Catholics around the world who chose not to stand up for truth. Pope Pius X wrote, In our time, more than ever before, the chief strength of the wicked lies in the cowardice and weakness of good men. And I would put in parentheses, and good women. All the strength of Satan's reign is due to the easygoing weakness of Catholics. Does that sound like it was written 100 years ago? Oh, if I might ask the divine Redeemer, as the prophet Zechariah did in spirit, what are those wounds in the midst of thy hands? The answer would not be doubtful. With these was I wounded in the house of them that loved me. You see, I was wounded by my friends who did nothing to defend me and who on every occasion made themselves the accomplices of my adversaries. And this reproach can be leveled at the weak and timid Catholics on every continent. Pope Pius X wrote those words for the beatification of Saint Joan of Arc on the 13th day of December of 1908. 110 years ago. Either he was a prophet or he had a real good crystal ball. God invites us to holiness and to greatness. Let the example of St. John the Baptizer inspire us to respond eagerly to this call. The times we are in call for heroes, and yes, I'm afraid martyrs too. By the way, I was reading this week, a Christian dies every 92 seconds someplace around the world for his or her faith. I want to stop just a second and let that sink in. Every 92 seconds Christian dies for his faith or her faith somewhere around the world. The hot spot this weekend, Mozambique. But it'll move. And we'll hear other horror stories. Where there have been 4 Catholic priests killed in Mexico in the last month. In Nicaragua, the bishop has been targeted every 92 seconds. The times we are in do call for heroes and martyrs, not necessarily in the sense of shedding blood, but in courageous and consistent witness to the evangelical principles of truth, justice, and moral righteousness. Like St. John the Baptizer, let us become the voice in this modern wilderness that we live in, proclaiming the message of conversion and hope. Let us not be afraid to speak both to family and friends, at work, at school, wherever we run into people. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Amen.